When we say your kingdom come, it means I'm praying for God's kingdom to be established, not only in his return, but now as well. There's a here and a now. There's an already and a not yet. The not yet is the final return of Christ. The already, though, is Jesus, you are building your church. You are advancing your kingdom, and we pray your kingdom come within this church, your kingdom come within this land, your kingdom come within this world.
Welcome back to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and we're glad that you've tuned us in today. I don't know if you are like me, but sometimes you wonder if you're praying for the right things. Do you ever wonder if you're actually asking God for the things you should be asking for? Well, I think today's message is perfectly designed for all of us as we expose what God's Word has to say about prayer. Specifically, how do we know if we're on the right path to prayer? Robbie will help us with several truths from God's Word today. And at the conclusion of the message today, you find yourself maybe challenged or gripped by today's message. And we'd encourage you to visit us online and get a copy at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. You can also phone us up and drop us a note of encouragement or even financially support the ministries through that website. Or you can call us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-22-L-I-G-H-T. All right, the path of prayer is where we're heading to today. Trust you are encouraged. Matthew chapter 6, and here is Robbie.
And when he returns and you pray your kingdom come, he will come and he will end the sin and he will obliterate evil and we will be there again in perfection and no one will be sad anymore. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more pain. How do you not pray that prayer? Jesus, Jesus, Father, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come right now. We are to pray that prayer. That is the first meaning. There's a second meaning as well. When we say your kingdom come, it means I'm praying for God's kingdom to be established, not only in his return, but now as well. There's a here and a now. There's an already and a not yet. The not yet is the final return of Christ. The already, though, is Jesus, you are building your church. You are advancing your kingdom, and we pray your kingdom come within this church, your kingdom come within this land, your kingdom come within this world. Your kingdom come now, O Lord, you save lives. You get more and more people who are praying the prayer, hallowed be your name. You see, when we pray this prayer, it's not a cute little game. Now, we're praying for the advancing of God's kingdom. Over the past several weeks, from many men and women who've walked to the front saying, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. What is that happening right there? That is happening. God is advancing. He's hearing the prayers of his people, and he is advancing his church. I love this thought all the time. All over the world right now, on every continent, Jesus Christ is saving lives forever. Why? Because he can't be stopped. Because he'll build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I mean, right now, someone save. Right now, someone save. Right now, someone save. Right now. It goes on and on and on and on and on. Because you cannot stop the love of God penetrating the darkest hearts for his glory. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are ramping up God's moving in our midst and around this world. That is very, very exciting. But here's the question. Well, how do I know if I'm on the path of prayer? I know if I'm on Jesus' path of prayer, if I see worship in prayer and I see kingdom of God type prayers. So then the question becomes, well, am I doing that? And this becomes a critical evaluation of the reality of our prayers. Daniel Henderson, he's an author, and he said this. He says, not all prayer requests are created equal. This is not diminishing smaller prayers or prayers maybe of significance to ourselves, but I think there is an order of importance within the Lord's Prayer. You begin with worship, and then you go to kingdom, and then we'll see what God has for us specifically, which are good down here, but don't neglect or miss the worship of God and the kingdom-centered prayers of God. One of our challenges is that a lot of what we pray for can be very me-centered and selfish. The question is, are we actually praying prayers that would affect people beyond ourselves? Here's a great question that John Bryson writes down. This is right here on the screen. Listen to this question. This should provoke some thoughts. If Jesus answered all of your prayers from the last 30 days, would anything change in the world or just your world? I pause because I want you to think about that. So if Jesus answered all the prayers that we've given to him in the past month, would anything change in the world for the kingdom? Or would it just be really about us? See, Jesus is trying to point us down the path of prayer. Here's another compelling quote on prayer that I wanted you to be able to see as well. This is for a guy named James Walker. He says this, and we spend more time, more prayer energy trying to keep sick Christians out of heaven than trying to keep lost people out of hell. I share with you because that really provoked thought in me. I mean, just sit on that for a second. We spend more prayer energy trying to keep sick Christians out of heaven. I mean, the sick Christians might be like, stop praying for me, man. I want to go to Christ. You know what I'm saying? So Paul was like. But I think the difference is more energy trying to save people from heaven than see lost people saved from hell. You know, it's interesting to notice the disciples, the apostles, before and after Pentecost. Before Pentecost, where they received the power of the Holy Spirit, frankly, they didn't really get it. They were walking around following Jesus Christ, and they wanted to obliterate Samaritans with fire from heaven. Thank you, James and John, right? They were walking around. Jesus would say, I have to die, third day rise again. They're like, huh? I don't get it. Like, they didn't have the faith to understand. They didn't know what was going on. I mean, often they would argue amongst themselves as to who was greatest. They were really focused on themselves. But then Pentecost happened. Jesus ascends into heaven. Pentecost happens. The Holy Spirit comes and fills them. And notice what happens within the disciples and the apostles. Instantly, they go from me-centered to kingdom-centered. And then their whole lives become about the advancing of God's kingdom, even if it meant they lose their lives. Here's what a man named John Franklin said about this. He says, the disciples, they went from being on their own agenda to being on God's agenda. They quit seeking a seat on Jesus' right or left and began praying for boldness to testify in the face of persecution. They quit flirting with a return to fishing. Instead, they focused on shepherding the people of God. They stopped worrying about their circumstances and began seeking the empowerment, the endowment of power from on high to preach the gospel. They changed from being self-centered to God-centered. And this determined their power with God. Or rather, he says, God's power through them. So listen what's happening here. When they start praying on the path of prayer, as Jesus lines out, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, God starts to move through his church. God begins to demonstrate awesome power as the people of God understand it's about him, it's not about me. That makes a huge difference. And the Lord is trying to say that to us today. Lord, help us to pray with a passion for what matters most. Now listen, as we go through this right now, some of us are really being convicted as to the quality or lack of quality maybe of prayer. And now I speak to you right now, men and women, in Jesus' name, don't be discouraged. I know the reality of prayerlessness in this room. I know the reality of prayerlessness in my own life. Don't let Satan discourage you. In the name of Jesus Christ, begin to believe how powerful prayer is and be encouraged to say, today's a new day. I can get on this path and I can start praying, hallowed be your name. And I can start praying the kingdom of God is going to come. I can start praying what God is going to do in my life. And so don't let truth and conviction turn into guilt and shame. Stand today and say, Jesus is loving me by drawing me to himself. And start to believe also that as I pray less for myself and more about Christ, I will find more joy in the reality of who Christ is in my life. This is what he wants to do. This is why this is such a big deal. So be the signpost of worship, the signpost of the kingdom of God. I'm on the path of prayer. I'll find this now. This is a little more directed now towards us, the signpost of dependence. I start seeing prayers of dependence upon God, because what is prayer? Prayer is, I need you, God. Right? Prayer and its basic definition is, I can't do it, Lord. I am just a frail, weak, sinful man who is completely and entirely dependent upon God for anything good. Prayerlessness defined is thanks, God, but I don't need you. If we're not praying, remember, we're telling God, I don't need you, God. But Jesus says otherwise here in verse 11. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Pray then like this. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts or our sins as we also have forgiven those who have sinned against us or who are our debtors. One commentary says this about give us this day our daily bread. He says, this is a prayer for our needs, not our greeds. And you know, it's important too, for a first century reader, they got, most of them got paid one day at a time. So if you're like a first century worker and you get sick, like you have the flu and you're out for like 3 days, I mean, your whole family could be in jeopardy. I mean, you could be starving for a couple of days. So for them, man, this made a ton of sense. Praying to God, God, I need the bread for today. I need your provision today. I'm totally dependent on you today. So our challenge in the Western world, though, our challenge is we walk up to fridges that for the most part are very full. Our challenge is to open the fridge and be thankful. A lot of us right now, we have pantries filled with food from every corner of the world. Our challenge is to walk in that pantry and see grace, 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 grace. Be very, very careful, loved ones, if you start to take for granted the basic necessities of life that God has lavished upon you. There is nothing you have that is not a good gift from God. There's nothing you have that you have earned yourself, that you are deserving of. It's all the grace of God. God in his general grace, God in his special grace, he delivers to his children. He provides for his people. He promises to do so. Our challenge in the Western world to be remembering that all the time. When you go home today and you are able to pay for a meal or open up a drink or get a piece of food, that is the grace of God upon your life. And you need to be reminded, and remember this too, in our day, you sense it and so do I, we are one crisis away from literally calling out, oh God, I need my daily bread today. Our world is so fragile, our economies are so fragile, God makes one move and the whole thing falls apart. And he might do that. And he might do that. I don't know. But he might. And then all of a sudden, this dependence prayer thing in verse here, in verse 11, that takes on a whole new value and meaning. Give us this day our daily bread. My advice to you and to myself right now is don't take anything for granted. We depend on God for every glass of milk and every bit of food, whether we know it or not. God, help us to see it that way. Notice Jesus is saying prayers of his provision physically, but also notice this spiritually. He provides for us for the spiritual as well, because in verse 12 it says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So debts is sin. Sin is debts. The word debt is really good because it means when we sin, we owe a debt to God. Now, this isn't a salvation prayer. This isn't faith in Jesus Christ. Save me again. You're not praying to be saved every day. That happens once. This is a draw me nearer to God again prayer. This is, I have grieved the Holy Spirit with the sin in my life. I am praying now, God, you will forgive me of these sins. I confess, 1 John 1:9, I confess these sins to you that I may be brought near to you right now in this way. Drawing near to God in what? In forgiveness. And notice this too. When you realize the forgiveness that God has granted to you, notice what happens next. And then I will forgive those who have sinned against me as well. See, what does dependence do? Dependence says in prayer, dependence says, I need the Lord for everything. And then therefore, I need the Lord to forgive my sins. When I see that dependence, then I see perspective. I am absolutely dependent upon God for forgiveness. And when I see with perspective, that humbles me because I realize I'm completely dead without God, Jesus Christ, and his forgiveness. So I go from dependence, perspective, and humility. And where there's true humility, there's love. And where there's love, then forgiveness is extended. See, understand this. You and I can't be drenched with God's grace and not give that grace to others. That's theologically impossible. You can't be dripping with God's grace and not extend that to others. Here's the reality. There's a lot of people in this room right now that are full of bitterness, unforgiveness, and resentment. And one of the things Jesus says to us today is if we're on the path of prayer and worship and kingdom come and dependence for forgiveness, then he's saying, if you truly are forgiven in Christ, then we must also forgive others in Christ. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. I mean, look at Matthew 6, verse 14. mean, just immediately following these words, he says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I mean, those are serious words. And the context of this and the meaning is, again, if you got grace, understand it, you will give grace. It's a great challenge for us. That's an important part of prayer. And notice that prayer is what leads us there. We see the gospel in its beauty. And then we say, how can I be forgiven of every sin I've ever committed and will commit, and then choose not to forgive other people? See, this is the foundation of a healthy marriage. I'm a hypocrite if I receive all my forgiveness from Christ, but then I withhold it from my wife, Jill. I'm a total hypocrite. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of prayer. Again, prayer says, I need you, Lord. A lack of prayer says, thanks, but I'm okay. Let's be men and women who believe in the power of prayer. So we're on the path of prayer. We see worship, man, hallowed be your name. We're on the path of prayer. We see kingdom come. We're like, this is amazing. God's advancing his kingdom. We're on the path of prayer. We say, I need you, God, for everything. And then fourth signpost we see in this instance is the signpost of protection. Deliver me from evil, O God. God, I need you to lead me not into temptation. Now we say, well, James 1 says that God can't be tempted with evil, neither will he tempt us. So what does this prayer mean, lead us not into temptation? Well, we know this. God allows us to be tested at times. God allows us to be tempted. Just like his son Jesus, it says the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. God doesn't do the tempting, but he will allow us to get in situations where we will be tested. So lead us not into temptation is a prayer. It's a beautiful prayer of, God, I'm frail. God, I'm weak. God, I'm vulnerable. Please protect me that I will not be tempted again in a situation where I will fail. This prayer is kind of like, we pray for open doors a lot for God. This is, God, I need closed doors. Because there's a door right there that if I walk through, I'm done. This will be a door of sin. God, please close that door and lead me away to something else as opposed to that temptation. That's a powerful prayer every single day. And notice in the context of this prayer, again, forgiveness extended to others. The temptation we have to hold on to unforgiveness and bitterness. And there's many other things we could say, but in this context, it seems to be there. God, lead me not into the temptation of ruining my own life by hating other people, by not forgiving other people. But then Jesus says, and deliver us from evil. Pray this, deliver us from evil. Very accurately, this is translated, deliver us from the evil one. I even read this morning in the high priestly prayer, my readings were in John 17, and Jesus says, Father, I pray you'll keep them from the evil one. Don't take them from this world, but keep them from the evil one. Apparently, this is an important prayer to Jesus that we need to be praying. This is the power of prayer seen in its proper light. Ephesians 6:12 is very helpful for us on the screen over here. Notice this. This is the reality of what we're doing. If we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Our battle is not with one another. Ultimately, our battle is against the evil one. We have to wake up and see that. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4. Look at this. For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war. This is a very important word right here, war. We are not waging war according to the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare. Notice, we are at war. Don't miss that. He's like, the weapons of our flesh are not, but the weapons of our warfare have divine power to destroy strongholds. What is our greatest weapon? Prayer. Prayer is the greatest way we fight against the reality of the forces of darkness. Now, we believe that here, but hear what I'm saying too. I'm not the kind of pastor who's looking for a demon behind every door. But in the same light, I'm not going to be a pastor who's lulled to sleep as to the reality of the enemy and how he wants to destroy us all. 1 Peter 5 says that Satan prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The very next words Peter says is resist him. Resist him firm in your faith. See, we're being called to join Christ as he builds his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So like it or not, listen, like it or not, every child of God is in a war, is in a spiritual war. So I say to us, listen, hey, loved ones, like, let's wake up and fight. Let's fight with prayer. Think of how successful Satan has been in lulling the Western church to sleep in prayerlessness. Think of how much he enjoys that. Think of how much he is so satisfied when God's people aren't praying because our greatest weapon has been put on the shelf. Again, that's why the seriousness of the series comes back again. Look at your own life right now. Are you fighting the war in prayer? Are you seeing it or are we praying? Again, like, I'm not saying you can't pray for ingrown toenails, okay? But there's a greater prayer to pray. There's a greater prayer to understand that we're up against the reality of the enemy, and God wants to use our prayers to see his church advance, that he might be worshipped, his kingdom is growing, that our dependence is there, and ultimately say, oh God, deliver us from evil. This is the call to us. Take up your spiritual weapon. Understand the reality. Satan's strategy is like, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it, man. Who cares about that? Prayers don't really work. You know, everything's good. Live in your comfort. Sit back on your couch. Watch TV. Feed your face with food. Just be entertained. Just be entertained. Just be entertained. Just don't pray. This painting is entitled Spiritual Warfare. And every time I look at this, my heart is moved. Here's a father praying over his son. And what's he doing there, you know? He's not saying, Father, I pray for my son's little haircut. He's not praying, you know, for things like, just, I hope tomorrow he doesn't skin his knee. He is interceding in the heavenlies that his son will grow up to be a man who is broken free from the chains of sin, who is set free from the sentence of death, who knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He is praying against darkness that Jesus Christ might reign in his son's life. And if you are a man like that, you get on your knees and you call out with faith too, because you believe God is going to use that to change the people you love most to love Jesus Christ. This is not a game. This is not a cute little bedtime story. This is war. Men, wake up to the reality of war. Women, wake up to the reality of what is going on. I want my child to have good friends. I want him to be good in school. That's all great. This is greater. This is greater. There is nothing greater than seeing our children know Jesus Christ. But listen, we are at war. A spiritual war. This Wednesday, when we gather, it's a call to fight. I urge you to show up and fight. Why? Because you believe in what Jesus is saying to you today. Pray then like this, and deliver us from evil. Jesus, deliver us from evil. See, prayer in this church is not a game. It's not just a good thing to do. It's the path of power for the glory of God. And this path of prayer, I know I'm on the right track, man. I'm hallowed be your name. When I'm praying for God's kingdom, when I'm saying, God, I am nothing without you. I need everything from you. And you deliver us from the forces of darkness. So let's do that. Let's bow our heads in reverence. Let's be very still and quiet. And as your heads are bowed, let me read this quote to you by Leonard Ravenhill as I end. Just listen to this. Leonard Ravenhill says, no man is greater than his prayer life. No person is greater than their prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. The pulpit can be a shop window to display one's talents, but the prayer closet allows no showing off. Poverty stricken as the church is today in many things, she is most stricken here in the place of prayer. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, few prayers. Many singers, few clingers. Lots of pastors, few wrestlers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, few intercessors. Many writers, few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere. He says, can any deny that in the modern church setup, the main cause of anxiety is money? Yet that which tries the modern church is the most trouble, the New Testament the least. Our accent is on paying. Theirs was on praying. When we have paid, the place is taken. When they had prayed, the place was shaken. In the matter of New Testament, spirit-inspired, hell-shaking, world-breaking prayer, listen to this, never has so much been left by so many to so few. For this kind of prayer, he says, there is no substitute. We do it or we die. And so, Father, right now, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we choose not to die. Instead, oh God, right now, we pray now for your glory. Oh, Father, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name, Lord, in this church and the families represented here and the individuals. Oh, God, hallowed be your name that people would rise up to praise you and give you glory and not seek self, but seek to love you. Oh, God, hear the prayers of your church as we cry out to you right now, as we desire so much for you to work in our midst. Oh, God, that we know that time is so short and this life is not a game. It's so, so important. Oh God, hear the prayers of your people. Hallowed be your name right now, Lord. Help us to live for you. Help us to hate our sin, oh God. Help us, Lord, to not be so caught up with the world and entertainment and all the things that take us away. Forgive us, Lord, for this. Instead, Lord, help us to be so satisfied with the riches of Christ, so satisfied with praising your name, so satisfied with you, oh God, with you and you alone. You're the only one, oh God. You're the only one. Hallowed be your name. And we pray, oh God, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray, oh God, we want to see you, Jesus Christ, face to face. We want sin to be done with. We want, Lord, you to come and restore all things good to yourself, Lord. We want to see perfection. We long for you, and we long for those, oh God, who do not know you to know you. We long, Lord, that those that we love and those that we don't even know would say, Jesus Christ is Lord. We long for kingdom to be advancing through our lives, through this church and this world. Your kingdom come, oh God. And we pray right now, God, we need you. We need you. We need you for the food we eat, to the forgiveness we seek right now, oh God. We need you for all things good, physical and spiritual. We need you, God. We are nothing without you. Forgive us when we have taken this for granted. We say, oh God, you are awesome. You are the great provider. You are the one who allows us to breathe even now. That as men and women, we are humbled at the reality of how much we look to you. And today, Lord, on the path of prayer, we say, oh God, deliver us from evil. Satan hates this church, and he hates this series. He is so afraid. But we pray that light will shine and darkness will flee. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will set people free for your glory. You will cause children to rise up and cry the name of Jesus Christ, that you will see men and women kneeling and bowing their knee to say, Jesus Christ is Lord, that you will see many people even surrounding us right now in this community who have never thought of God to honor his name, and sometime very soon they will know who the true God is and they will love Jesus Christ with all their hearts. Oh God, would you deliver us from evil? For yours is the power and the glory. For yours is the power and the glory.
If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. Our mailing address in Canada is 500 Great Lakes Boulevard in Oakville, Ontario. Our postal code is L6L6X9. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna be in the light as you are in the light.